The scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms, the 34th chapter, and I'll be reading from verse 11 down through 14. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Dennis?
How precious are those words. As an indication of its eternal value, Peter also spoke of this in 1 Peter chapter 3. He writes in verses 10 through 12, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." How many of us are looking for genuine happiness? I'm talking a happiness that knows no bounds, a happiness where peace rules in our hearts. I think we can all say the affirmative that that's what we're looking for. But the truth of the matter is that true happiness doesn't come by accident. It is not going to plop on your head someday when you're sitting under a tree. True happiness has to be planted. It has to be watered and it has to be cultivated. He that desires life and loves many days have to do certain things. What do we listen to today? You know, since Vicky's been gone, one of the last channels that I actually turn to other than the weather is the news. Be perfectly honest, I'm fed up with it. When I went to pick up Vicky from her sisters, the first thing they told me is they haven't watched the news in weeks. My sister-in-law won't even turn it on. She finds it so depressing. But see, that's what we always listen to, don't we? And how many times can we watch the news and come away feeling great? If anything, the hole has just gotten deeper. Even the weather can be depressing. But what do we listen to that will ensure our happiness? It was read in Psalm 34 and verse 11. Hearken unto me. I will teach you. God gives us the instructions that we need to enjoy life. Jesus, in Mark 4, verse 24, he said, "Take heed what you hear. With what you measure, and it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." This first part, this admonition, is about what we hear. What does society spend its time today on? Facebook? Twitter? I don't Facebook, and I have no idea. The only Twitter I do is listening to the birds in the backyard. And they were pretty vocal this morning. Today we tend to lend an ear more to others and the self-help media. And through these things, sometimes we do get some feelings, but they're only temporary. Sometimes these stories tug at our heartstrings, but how long does that last? How many times do we open God's Word during the day and look at those words of wisdom, those words of comfort? You know, in the past, I've been asked, and people have been depressed and things like this, and they don't know where to go to find comfort. And they ask me, and I open the Bible, open the Word of God. It is the source of true knowledge. It is the source of true peace. But not only are we to take heed in what we hear, but how we hear. You know, probably the one book that is much, much larger than the Bible itself is the Book of Opinions. The religious world has a lot of opinions. Our families have a lot of opinions. Our friends, our neighbors have a lot of opinions. But do we apply the opinions, or do we apply ourselves to God's Word? How many times have we opened up our Bibles in times of stress and got relief because we found those comforting words? How many times have you been looking for something in the Bible and you're stressing out and you flip open the page and you start reading something and there it is right in front of you? Is it providence? Was it God flipping the pages for you? Not necessarily, because all of God's Word can be comforting in its proper application. If we're looking for those good days, if we're looking for those happy days to start taking away the bad, we will have more of those as we grow spiritually each and every day. How many of us have been hurt by some unkind word? How many times have we been placed in misery because of what someone else has said? For folks who cannot control their speech. For those that say, well, I just think what's on my mind. I just say what's on my mind. How many times have we been hurt by those things? In verse 13 of Psalms 34, it says, keep thy tongue from evil. You know, we can speak our minds. And at times we do need to speak our minds, but we need to temper that speech into a way that does not pierce the heart. We live in a society where half-truths and discord are sown every single day. It's kind of hard, even if you go on the internet, to find out what is true and what's not true. And it depends on what side you lean on that you take. In Matthew 7 and verse 1, Jesus, he said here, judge not lest you be judged. And how oftentimes do we judge others by half-truths? How many times does our opinions sway because someone else had said something about someone else that we take it as true? You know, years ago, when I was in North Dakota, we had a fire in the morning about one of the housing units about 8 o'clock in the morning. There was a kitchen fire, and it did some pretty good damage in the kitchen. And we got there, and I was investigating the fire, and they had a boy about 8 years old. And he had been sick, and his mom had slept in, and his brother had already went to school. And the little boy said that it was his brother that had cooked something for breakfast and left the burner on. And we're kind of looking at things, and I started looking and checking some more, asking some more questions. And I finally asked the mother, because we could never question a child without the parents present. But I knew with mom there that I would never get to the truth. So I asked her permission if I could just talk to him for a little bit. And we sat down on the front porch as if we were best of friends. And I reassured him that he wasn't in any trouble, but I needed to get to the bottom of things. And he finally admitted that he woke up early and he was hungry and his mom was asleep, and so he decided to cook him some breakfast. And he forgot to turn the burner off. You know, we don't oftentimes go deep enough to look for truth. We oftentimes take things at face value. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. We find in here seven abominations that God hates. These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. You know, earlier we read in 1 Peter 3 and verse 10 that we are to keep our lips from speaking guile. We oftentimes say the word, and oftentimes we don't realize just what all that means, just that one little word. But it has in its heart deceit, but also flattery and pretense and insincerity. How many times have you talked to someone and you tell them that you love them, but it's not in your heart? Those are words. Oftentimes we leave a false hope, a false happiness. And eventually we ruin a spirit or damage their will. There's an old saying, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. Now that's what happens when we do not learn to control our tongue. Contentment and disorderly conduct do not go together. In Proverbs 3 and verse 7, Solomon, he writes here, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Departing from evil. Separating ourselves from it. And what does God consider evil? Everything that transgresses his laws. When we came up out of that watery grave, we were cleansed of every evil thing that we have done. God had gave us at that point a clean slate. But why is it so many return to that same lifestyle? Why are we so eager to run out and get back in the mud hole? You know, sometimes I understand. I was in the same boat. I got dirty all over again. I had a whole life of habits that I had to break. I didn't have the strength at that time to break them all at one time, even though I knew I had to. It took time. It took time. But we are to continually make our lives Christ-like and grow. Peter in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We don't often realize that when we took that opportunity and we grabbed that doorknob and we shoved it open and we went through that door of opportunity, that God ordered that happiness for us. And we should take those opportunities and do just what Jesus did and go around in life and doing good. When we take that opportunity, how does it make us feel? How does our heart, when we are sitting there and sacrificing of ourselves to do something for someone else, what does that do for us? Does it inspire us to continue to do more? You look at Jesus' ministry and how those people followed him everywhere. When he was in Bethany, he couldn't even get anybody else in the house. People wanted to be close to him. He created a happiness. He was healing people who were afflicted, not only just physical afflictions, but spiritual afflictions. He brought Lazarus back from the grave. Just that one act created joy in many people. The only one I know that can raise the dead from the living is my daughter's dog at 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm dead asleep. But that's the only one I know of. We can't bring someone back to life, but we can cause happiness in others. What do you feel about peaceful relationships? Don't you like going into a place that you know is going to be a nice time? How do you feel like you go to work and there is a whole bunch of contention going into work? Do you really want to go in and punch that clock? Have you ever gone into a place of work and things like this and you kind of get up in the morning and you kind of dread going over there because you know it is going to be a day? Or do you like to go into a place where there is a great relationship with one another? In Matthew 5 and verse 9, Jesus in the Beatitudes, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." In Romans 14, verse 19, Paul told the brethren there and included in himself in that, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." But how do we do that? How do we make peace? Is it sometimes we may have to sacrifice our own feelings sometimes? Sure it does. Sure it does. You know, when we sacrifice sometimes our own feelings, we can get ourselves to feel better, especially when we see how others react to it. If we're waiting for peace, it's not going to come. It's not going to come. We have to search for it. It comes to those who seek it with all earnestness, those who pursue it. True peace is elusive. It is going to run away from you. It is going to try to hide, but you can seek it out. We just need to be alert. And sometimes, yes, we need to be aggressive at it. When you see somebody once a week, once a month, how do you know them? How do you know? You don't. You know a surface. You know what they're maybe like for an hour or 2 hours. But what about on the other side? You know, sometimes we don't realize what kind of life someone actually is living until we get to know them. We don't know what their strains and stresses are in life because we only see them when they have put a smile on their face. You know, when I was putting up my house, when our neighbor's truck was stolen out of his front yard, Vicki got really concerned. I had to go and put up a bunch of security lights, motion lights around the house. I had to just be careful that the planes didn't think I was GSP and land there. But I started to run the wiring from one light to another because I only wanted to have turn one switch on to keep those lights going. And I started taking away some things, and I looked up in that porch after I started running the wire, and I'm kind of like, well, this was just for show. There's nothing up there. There's nothing up there. So I had to kind of wonder what's holding that end of the porch up. See, that's oftentimes how we are when we're out here one-on-one for just a little bit of time. We put on a brave face. And we try to make everything seem like it's okay. But the sad truth of it is a lot of us are hurting deep inside. But many of us don't know because we do not go looking and searching and trying to find peace with one another. We need to keep those who are in the body of Christ closer than we do our own families. We need to strive to make sure that every single one of us is having that mansion built for us and that we get to occupy it. We need to forgive as God forgives. And we need to do everything that we can to stay close to one another. Happy days can come. They can come when we listen and we control our speech and we keep our conduct above reproach. If we dedicate ourselves to making others happy, we will become happy. We can truly enjoy this brief time that we have to occupy this space on this earth. We can be happy with it. And when our days is over, we can rejoice knowing that we lived a good life. Are you a child of God today? If you're not a child of God, how can you say you are truly happy? Knowing that you have a bleak future. You know, since God created the heavens and the earth, God had a plan for man. He had a plan. And God has wanted, since the beginning of time, He has wanted man to stay with Him forever. But sin entered the world. And so, man broke that bond between him and God. But God had a plan for that. It was not unexpected. And God, in the proper time, was going to send His Son to be that perfect sacrifice that we can be reconciled with Him. But it was going to take some effort on our part. And God's plan of salvation through that effort, through hearing and believing, because without belief you have no faith. And then turn your life around through repentance. As Jesus said, that if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before His Father. So we must confess Him before men and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's the only way that's going to remove the stain of sin. If there's anyone here this morning who desires to put their Lord and Savior on in baptism, to ensure that you are reconciled with God, start today putting Jesus to work, building another mansion, preparing another mansion. Start today. But maybe you are a child of God. Maybe peace is eluding you. Maybe you're not finding it. Hopefully, through God's word, you can find it. Maybe you need to be reconciled with God again through sins in your life. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.